Okay, we'll go ahead and call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order for December 11, 2018 at 7:11. We all rise for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome, everyone. It's our final meeting of the year, barring any craziness happen for the rest of the year. Knock on some wood, I guess. We'll start with the public comments. If you're here for anything outside of what's on the agenda, you're more than free to come up and have your 2 minutes at the table here. Just need to state your name and address and what it is you want to report. Okay. Go on to agenda review and adoption. Are there any additions, deletions, subtractions?
Nope.
Council, anything? Otherwise, I'd look for a motion to adopt the agenda as written.
Make a motion to adopt the agenda as written.
Second. Moved and seconded to approve the agenda as written. All in favor? Opposed? Passes? Look for a motion to approve the consent agenda unless there's something we want to pull off.
We don't have to pull this off. We are in compliance with the letter.
That's correct. So we will go back next year. So it'll be once a year, back to 10 homes.
All right.
June of 2019.
It's all on.
Yeah.
So I look for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I move to approve the consent agenda.
Second. Moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Michael Howe, is there a representative for them? Otherwise, we'll move on to the next item. I don't see anybody. Move on then to city fee schedule 2019.
So the Howes are not here. They were to show up or pay their delinquent water bill. They have not paid and they have not shown up, and they said they're going to tonight, which then means that they get shut off immediately of their water. So I look to council for guidance on that.
Council, any thoughts? I know we've given them plenty of opportunity to work with staff to get it taken care of, or at least get a plan in place.
Shut it off.
Yes, that's right.
Needs your correction. Okay. Move on then to the city fee schedule for 2019. We just had the public hearing. You heard the concerns or suggestions made by staff. Is there any other changes we want to make to the city fee schedule?
So basically in the public hearing, the changes we discussed was changing the pop for clubs from 65 to 70 cents. Community center rate to 150. My question then would be, as far as local businesses, we always do half. Do you want to keep it at 100, or do you want to lower that to 75?
Will anybody walk away from 100?
I don't think so. I think we'd be fine with that. And then we, from 18 to 19, we've talked about proposed water rates. So the base rate from 2240 would go to 2348 per 1,000, would go from 1051 per 1,000 to $11.01 per 1,000. And the maintenance fee would go from $8 to $10 a month. And strictly, those increases are due to the new water tower that will be beginning construction in 2019. Only other thing is setting it to the 2019 IRS rate. So I think that's all I have, unless the council wishes to discuss.
What's that?
Chris?
Didn't see a change on that.
That was a damage deposit. Go to 200.
200. Yep.
Any other suggestions? Thoughts? Otherwise, if there isn't, then I look for a motion to adopt ordinance number 160.
I move to adopt ordinance 160.
Second.
Moved and seconded to adopt ordinance number 160 for the 2019 city fee schedule. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? City fee schedule. Now we move on to the fun topic of the evening, the 2019 final tax levy and budgets.
All right, I will pull that up on the screen.
Well, Jeremy's bringing that up just to give those in the audience that may have not have listened to past council meetings or been in attendance. Back in October, right?
September.
September, we set the preliminary levy at 14 and change. The idea behind that is, if you've never been involved in the process before in the past, you can always set the levy at a certain number. You can never go above that number. So no matter what comes up between the time you set it to the time you finalize it, if something happens in town, you can't go above whatever that percentage is. Now, we can always go down and even lower after that. We can always bring it down. And that's, in fact, what we did at the budget workshop last time around. I know many of you, if you're like me, when you got your preliminary tax letter in the mail, it was probably a little bit of a sticker shock. I don't know what yours went up. Mine went up 46.5%. My value of my home went up significantly, according to the Carver County. And that's partly due to a number of things, the fact that houses are selling here in town, as well as we're in the 7-county metro area. And good or bad as it may be, we kind of get lumped into their valuations and not into like Sibley or McLeod County. So that plays a factor in how our values go. Now, again, the upside to that is that our houses are worth more. So either we have more equity if you have it paid off or not much of a loan on it, or now you're closer to the break-even point. If you're like those who maybe went underwater a little bit when the housing market crashed last year. We have made some changes to the budget during the budget workshop and even since the budget workshop. And as it sits right now, unless council or residents have something else they would like to add, right now we're at 2.98% increase. So we've brought it significantly down from that 14 and change by an act. So, Jeremy, you want to go over some of the changes
sure.
that we made?
So just to add to what Chris said about your house valuation, so as they come out and you feel that is not a correct market rate, you will get a notice here the beginning of 2019, which will state, you know, what they'll be setting your property values at. Unfortunately for this year, that time has passed. But for next year, when those rates come out, they usually come out February, March area. And when they come out, they'll give you a date and a time, and it's usually about a week where you can go contest that market value. So if you feel that you could not sell your house for what they're setting the market value of your house at, that's when you go to down to the county assessor's office and talk to them about it. They handle all our assessing for all properties in the city. So that date will be on that statement when it comes out beginning of next year. So I just wanted to add on that so people are aware of that. As far as the budget, we, like Chris said, we had it at 14.4%. We typically always set it higher, just to cover ourselves. Basically what we do is we take our wish list items, add them in there, and in the past we've kind of tried to work down to that 5 and below mark, you know, as long as the budget allows us. When we had our last budget workshop meeting, we had set it right around about 5%. So what we did from our last meeting is I'm just going to go over with council the biggest change we had, and that was the Fire Department Relief Association. We had $9,000 in that budgeted for the city's contribution towards the Relief Association pension. At that time, they were considering an increase. They have since dropped that. So that, I believe it was $100, correct? I think they were looking to go from $1,600 to $1,700 a year for their pension. They did drop that. So by doing that, that lowered the city's contribution to the relief by $5,000, you know, roughly about $5,300. The other things from our last meeting that we looked at is one of the things is we had the truck replacement. We had $20,000 in there. So I took that money and moved it basically where it should be to the debt service and set up debt service payments for the new pumper, new engine 12. So I moved those monies in there, which roughly the city's contribution will be $20,129. The first couple of years, the township, as you can see this transfer in, that'll be the township of Young America paying their portion. Washington Lake Township has paid their portion in full. So that would be their payment with interest, their share of interest for the 2 years. And also I have worked with our attorney to create an addendum to the fire contracts. So when we do the fire contracts for 2019, that addendum will go with that service agreement, which basically states the agreement based on the percentages we came up by units and the amount they their cost share. So there's the adjustments there. Other than that, big other things, you know, for the public that's here, I want to go over is just to show you here. This will show you what we've kind of done. You know, so roughly we had an increase in benefits of about 5%, health insurance increases of 18, work comp and property casualty 5. Some of the bigger type item purchases that we had that will be coming into play that haven't been typical yearly budgets will be the soffit and fascia and re-roofing of the park bathrooms of $7,500. Then also we have some electrical work of about $6,500 that we have to do and correct down into the park that we have in the budget. Also we'll be replacing the hall back steps and the hall floors on the bar side of the upstairs of the hall and adding a water softener to the hall. That's not correct because I moved that. And then what we've had every year too is we always set aside $5,000 for equipment replacement and $5,000 for maintenance and for community center and for replacing the park bathrooms. So that is an additional $14,000 there. And then the truck replacement, that's what I went over with the debt service. Every year we've had $10,000 in the budget for truck replacement. So basically we paid about, what was our portion, 50, about 50% of the fire truck. That was about $390,000. When I have them numbers, if you bear with me. Had them numbers. I will pull them up. All right, so here's kind of a breakdown of the cost analysis. So basically the city share was $211,252. We had set aside roughly about $128,000 for that. And so kind of our shortfall was $83,335. And we have basically a 5-year loan on that to be repaying that. So roughly it breaks out to about $20,135 for the next 5 years would be the city's portion of that debt payment. Let's see, back to the budget. So that kind of covers, you know, all the things that we've added to the budget that are kind of outside our yearly budgeted items, such as seal coating, no major street repairs for 2019. When we get into the water tower, I will touch base on that. That we'll be looking to where we're doing some of the looping, replacing the street there. And that will be a small portion, maybe half a block on Jacob Street. But that will be built into the PFA loan. So like I said, with that, everything we've added to the budget, all the adjustments we've made, we are now sitting at about 2.98%, you can see.
Any questions from the public in regards to the process or the budget itself or where we landed at 2.98? Don't say.
And what was your proposed levy percentage? What was that?
14.4.
You went from 14.4 to about 3? Yeah. And what does that mean, like, for us? Like, my increase is going to be 700. What am I looking at now?
That I don't know, because that's a complex formula break. I'd have to break down, you know, your market. I'd have to know your market value. I'd have to know the total city market value, you know, so it's always hard to dictate that, because in your county's bill too, you know, you have to look at, is it all city or is there a county, is there school, is there, you know, so there's a bunch of factors, special assessments, those type things that make up, you know, your full taxes.
Should be considerably less.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I'm focusing on.
Yeah.
Because this is the lowest we've had it now in how many years? It's always
and I think the
around 5% all the time.
The biggest shock we've had is the price, the market value increase.
Right.
Yeah.
Then it was at Carver County's.
Yeah.
They do our assessments.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like I said,
where's the expense of the water tower in some of this?
It's in the water fund. So it's strictly
the water fund considered?
Yep, it's strictly the water fund.
Okay.
So basically, you know, council took the approach that you use it, you pay for it concept. So, and like I said, I can get into that and show you what we've come up with. Just to give you an idea how well you can see this. Yeah, I was afraid of that. But it's kind of a long worksheet that myself and the mayor worked on to figure out where we needed to be at. I think that it's been talked about for 30 years, a new tower. The current tower is 105 years old.
Right.
It's past its prime. It's to the point where it needs to be replaced next year.
So the lead, you know, obviously we got a letter saying that there's lead, and I'm sure a lot of that is sparked by
Typically, no, what the lead is, when you got that, I can't say who or numbers because it's confidentiality, but what I can tell you is a lot of those were from people that had lead services. So that's where it's coming from. If you have old pipe, right?
Right.
So you have a service line,
right?
And it's lead, it's getting into the water.
So how do we know who has those lines?
I can't tell you that. It's private information.
Right.
So it's hard.
Be public information as far as what's...
You'd have to ask the Department of Health.
Because
it clearly...
Testing my water, having my water tested? Because right now we're going out and buying water.
Oh, we've had our last... We've done two... So what we were forced then, we have to do it. It was every 3 years. And then once you get flagged... Above what they do is a 90th percentile, right? Throughout the high, throughout the low, create an average. And so what happened is 2017, when we did one of our rounds, one of our testings, it came back averaged higher. Now we've done two rounds, same homes. Can't tell you who, but I can tell you the same homes, same 20 homes we tested twice this year. We came under the average. So now we're clear and we're back to testing yearly. If our lead average was to spike again, what we would end up doing is probably putting polyphosphates into the water, which basically we'd be adding a chemical that would coat the piping. Because typically where it's coming from is lead joints in your pipe and lead in your house.
Right.
And so, like when we had these meetings, one of the funny things I love is, I can't remember what year it was, but there was a year where they said, okay, everything has to be lead-free. And then in small notations, it says it can be 6% lead. So, I mean, they did lower the quantity of lead used nowadays.
Right.
But if you, typically if you have an older home, you're more at risk because your chances are greater of lead being used.
Right. What do you consider older?
78. Yeah. 78
or older.
Okay.
It, you know, and if you've had your service line replaced, that, you know, that can, there's so many factors that can come in. But like I said, from I don't think anyone's at risk with the numbers that we had come in these last two rounds of testing.
You talk service line, so how far out does that lead concern go? From my house to the main service coming through the easement?
And there can even be, it's not to say that the city doesn't have old mains that doesn't have lead joints.
So I wouldn't go through the expense of replacing my service if it's possibly upstream.
You know, probably the easiest thing to do if people are concerned is come up to the office and talk to me. I can give you some information.
Okay.
And we can talk maybe some scenarios about testing the water for lead and see, you know, what we can do there. You know, just ease of mind type thing.
Right. Okay.
But back to the tower, which I think was your initial question.
Right.
So what we did is we kind of came up with a game plan here. So basically, when we submitted our for the intended use plan through the Public Facilities Authority, so one thing is the council is quite diligent about doing this, but I think more so, I don't like single people out because we work as a group, but Chris did a lot of work at the Capitol. I went down there with him on a few times also. So we were, I think, able to push to get them to expand the amount of monies they would make available for low interest loans. Unfortunately, we would love to see a grant. I think all of us would.
Sure.
And we're still working on that. So that's, we're not done with it yet. But what we had submitted was about a $1.1 million project. You know, so when you have $1.1 million and you have 236 parcels in town, you know, it's a lot of money. So we tried to go about it the best way we could. Back in 2014, not to make this a long meeting, but if I can give you the information, I hope it helps. You know, 2004, we were required to build new wells and a new treatment plant. There again, that was due to EPA regulations. But on the downside of that is we had a well that was pumping sand. It's in the Mount Simon Aquifer, which they don't require we use anymore because everybody was in that aquifer and they don't want people in that so they can build back up the aquifer. So we probably needed a new well anyways. You know, tower, all that was all coming down the pipeline, but 2004 sped that up. Anyways, those payments drop off in 2022 and 2024. So we needed to find a cash flow till 2024 till them payments came out. Once those payments, that debt comes off, you know, boom, this debt can take that place without too much of a major impact to, you know, the residents. So basically what we put together and proposed was a 4.8% increase in 2019, 4.75 in 2020, and 4.75 in 2021. So overall here, I'll blow this up so you can kind of see. Now, this is an average family. There we go. So this is an average family. Oh, what number did I use? 4,000 gallons a month. So here's the impact on your overall rates. I know the screen's horrible, so I'll read it off. So right now the average bill is $127.49. In 2019, you know, an average bill, 4,000 gallons would go up $5.09. It go up an additional $3.21 in 2020 and another $3.36 in 2021. And then, I mean, we should be good then, you know, knock on wood or whatever next comes up. You know, there's always improvements to be made, but that is the game plan we've put together, you know, staff and council to, you know, which we feel is, you know, isn't too bad of an impact for getting a new water tower. The nice thing with the water tower also will be looping some water mains, so that should help the water also. So we have better flow and not as many dead ends. And then with the tower, it'll probably be about 30 to 50 feet higher than the current tower. Tower will be placed right out here. And it'll probably add about 10 to 15 pounds of pressure. So you'll have increased pressure. Right now we're in the low 40s. We're looking to get that from 55 to 60, which is kind of the standard.
And you're thinking the main lines that are in the ground now sustain that?
Hoping so, yeah. The other thing that goes with the water tower, we're going from a 50,000 gallon to a 75,000 gallon, which will help out in a number of other areas. If we ever are able to attract a high water usage business, mm-hmm. now we have the capacity for it. Or as NOR Young America and the surrounding communities continue to grow and we become a more favorable spot for people to build houses, we now have the ability to expand the housing demographic as well.
Our industrial, hopefully industrial.
And hopefully industrial.
And the other aspect with that we're hoping is that that'll give us a better fire rating too, an ISO rating, which then in return would help to lower your house insurance. So that's where we are with the water tower, and that's kind of all built in to the budget here. You know, it's unfortunately, it's one of those things, infrastructure isn't cheap. And it's especially even harder when, you know, you're a small town and you got these big improvements. And like I said, these rates will probably be, they're set for 2019. They could change in 2020, 21, just due to the fact that if bids come in lower than engineers' estimates, you know, then that will also lower our debt, which then we can look at adjusting the rates then at that time also.
And this was built on the worst case scenario, so mm-hmm. the low interest loan, it can be just between 1-2%. We built this off of 2% in hopes that maybe it'll be lower. We did, for those who may not follow it, the Fed did come out this last week because of the volatility in the market and announced that they're not going to increase rates anytime soon. So that should potentially help out when it comes to low interest loans. Any other questions or about the budget or the process or water tower?
Concerns, services you'd like to see more of or anything? I mean, that's why we love to have this open forum and people up here.
Is that for any general topic or just
any
water
any budget item? Any budget item.
Council, any changes to it? Leave it at 2.98.
Yep.
We're still there. Legal fees and that will cover it.
Correct.
Change what was from the fire departments taking that exclusion or whatever.
Yeah, I've taken that out and we still have $20,000 in legal fees.
Yep. Okay.
You would need a motion, a total of what?
So it would be 501, 530 would be the levy amount.
So I'll look for a motion from the council to approve the 2019 Hamburg's levy at 501-530.
I move to approve the 2019 Hamburg tax levy at 501-530.
Second.
Moved and seconded to approve the 2019 tax levy at 501-530. Any further discussion? All in favor?
All right.
Opposed? Levy is set.
All right, so then just to adopt resolution 2018-13 for the tax levy amount of $501,530. So just we can get a motion on that, and everybody all set?
I move to approve resolution number 2018-13 for $501,530.
So moved and seconded to approve resolution number 2018-13 for $501,530. Any further discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Levy assessed.
All right, just so in case that's what you mainly were here for, everybody's going to bolt. In a little bit, we will be discussing about comprehensive plan updates, and also I'll get into the new water tower a little bit. So if you are interested in the water tower, feel free to stay for that portion of the meeting.
Okay, next, move on to the old city business, Lois Draghi development.
All right, so just kind of want to give a council an update and loop on that. So we're still moving forward. We finally did get some comments back from Carver County on the stormwater ponding. So SEH is working on that right now and the permitting. I've had no objection from Lois for the letter of credit or any of those things. So I think everything's kind of fallen in line. I talked to Lois, was it late last week? And she wants to be ready to go spring. I mean, she had talked about doing it, you know, doing some grading work and getting that prep, but and with talking with her, they kind of wanted to be able to do it all, but we didn't have that stormwater permit back yet. So yeah, so it snuck up on us. And but what I've talked, I've met with our engineers today too with about the water tower and that subject, and the thing I talked to with engineers, make sure we have all the permits and everything ready to go as soon as frost is out. So
do you have our permits from Carver County yet?
No, we got comments, finally got comments back on it. So they're addressing the comments. And then Justin's assured me that everything will be ready to go come spring. So we'll hold them to it.
Any other questions on that? Okay, move on then to the stormwater easement parcels, the survey.
Okay, so I had Avery come out, survey all of the Trevish properties. So that is all staked out. We have that all taken care of. He's currently writing up the certificates of survey and the descriptions. So once he gets that to me, I'll get that to Quinn. And then probably I'm going to guess right away next meeting, January, we'll be discussing, you know, our game plan for kind of two things we need to look at is the bring that up so the public kind of has an idea what we're talking about here. So the area we had surveyed was basically this whole area right here.
So we had this whole area surveyed. So we had this split into the deed we had from 1965 of this parcel. And then this is surveyed and these two parcels. One of the things we've discussed in the past is kind of the two things we have here is because of the railroad not having it on their deed that this was recorded in 65 that the city owns this property, we now have two deeds. So the first thing is to find out the validation of those deeds. So that'll be our first step. The second step would be because we have stormwater that sits right in here and there's a manhole right behind it and runs over to here. And then down through here, and then to the ditch. So the problem we have is we have what we had license agreements with the railroad for that stormwater. But now since the land's been sold, that goes with the land, but the Trevishes were asking unreasonable dollar amounts for either purchasing that property or coming to an agreement to pay them an easement for those properties. So what we'll be looking at is the two things is squaring away whose deed is valid, whose takes precedent, which will be the first thing, and then ironing out the easement on this 25 feet of property in here where the store runs right in here. One thing me and Greg did use, there's a man, a catch basin here. On the map, it kind of shows that that line is going to run like in his, into his property on our stormwater mapping. So me and Greg poured water down the inlet here, and it came into the catch basin here, so we don't feel that line runs there. But we will have an area right in here that we'll have to deal with, because there is a manhole right behind that catch basin right there, so there's a line right there that runs over here. So that'll be another item we'll have to discuss. I've already talked to our engineers as one of the options at looking, if we can just take that, and we'd probably want to just get a quick cost analysis of what it would cost for us to move that stormwater over to our property. But like I said, first thing we need to square away is this property.
I looked at it down near where Scotty Carlson's land is, where it butts up against ours there. It comes at an angle.
Yeah, it does.
I see Moggers put the stake, and then I take it that's the corner stake. That's almost all the way down to the railroad. So is that because of the sidetrack?
Well, from what I know, the center of the tracks,
so this line here,
mm-hmm.
is supposed to be 25 feet off the center of the tracks.
So the railroad actually owns 25 feet, 50 feet, 25 on each side of the center of the track.
Yeah, I think they actually owe more on this side. It's probably 50, to be honest. On this side, I think they owe 50, because they owed 50 here, but they sold them the land. Well, they used to own this whole parcel in yellow, but then when they sold to him, now it's only 25 feet here on this side, and it's 50 on the other side.
Because where Jason set the last point down there on that, by Scotty down there, there's only probably, it can't be much more than 12 feet from the...
I'll take a look at that. But from what I know, it's supposed to be.
I'm just taking it that land was pinched like a piece of pie from down to the...
Very possible.
You see, there was a sidetrack at one time, didn't there?
Correct. So there was.
And that would be about in the area where the switch was to come back out onto the...
See, and that could be... I know in this area here, it's supposed to be 25 feet for sure. But I have to wait and see what the legal says once we get the certificate of survey. That'll tell us what we're looking at there. And also, what I had Avery do when he did the surveys is I'm going to have him color-code it all.
Mm-hmm.
So this will color this one area, and then this long strip, one color, this parcel, one color, and this parcel. So that way we can differentiate it.
I noticed there's a lot of stakes standing up at a little gas station, too, right behind the curb. Is that the boundary? I mean,
yeah.
The curb is that type.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't, you know, because I want to follow up with the county again, too, see if they can find anything. It just blows me away that, you know, this is a county road through town, but in here, there's no right-of-way. This side there is. Here you can see the curbs here, you know, and you can see the right-of-way along there, but here, the pins are right behind the curb. There's no right away.
So what's he going to do next? Can go after the telephone to all the pole company, because they actually got stuff sitting on his. The
right.
County's actually got the county sign in the corner.
Right.
All on his property.
Right.
That's something you deal with the county.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll deal with our.
If that's all.
Ours is enough.
All right, we'll look forward to that then when you get that information. Then we'll go ahead and move on to the last item of business, the Timberline CUP storage container, which I believe you're up here to talk about.
Yeah.
Please, if you would. So, at our last meeting, as everybody recalls, we had a conversation about the container that sits behind the Timberline building. And looking at the variance that was issued back in 2007,
I believe.
Yeah. Two stipulations were put on that container. The first stipulation was the fact that it would have to be removed if Timberline no longer did business at that facility. Second stipulation was if it was ever removed while they were still doing business, they couldn't put it back. Now there's some contention in understanding of that first sentence by the new owner of the building. That being said, that container should have been removed when the transaction took place, as we've discussed here at the council meetings, and which is why we have it now, since it still is there. We'll be looking to declare that a nuisance. And it'll be turned over to the county.
Very much so. And I'm still in the works. I want to have my land surveyed. From what I've gathered, what I believe was the property marker. So she wasn't too far off from where the original fence was in my property. That was pretty much straight down the middle of that. I think if that isn't removed, I'd like to, see if there's a way that, between Richard Trevesh and myself, came up, with an agreement where that property is. And another thing with that storage container, I've had vehicles. I've actually got a surveillance on my house. That storage container swung open. I don't know if that was what the kid was in there. Put a big net back in my pickup. Those doors swung open and they take out a little bit of the street. I believe that I'm almost certain that came from that storage container. And just looking at it for the past 2 years since I've had my property, I've patiently waited for a few years.
So one thing, just give a council an update on Mr. Brian Maltz, who was the owner of Timberline, did stop in and talk to me and basically said he sold that with the property, that storage container. I had told him that we had sent him a letter back in October reminding him that it must be removed, once the property sells. So basically, after our short discussion I had with Mr. Maltz, he's turned it over to his attorney. So his attorney requested information from me yesterday. So what he was requesting was information on the zoning ordinance and a copy of the resolution that we passed in 2007. And also copies of the letters that we had sent to Timberline Wood Products. He said he would be getting back to me. I was hoping he would get back to me today, but I did not hear from him today. And I do not see nothing still in my inbox. So I have kind of filled our attorney in on this situation. So kind of where we're at right now is, I don't know if we almost need a legal opinion on the validity of the conditional use permit. In talking to our attorney, he says we're reading it one way and Mr. Maltz's attorney is reading it another way.
Yeah.
So I don't know where it's going to end up or if it's going to end up being another thing that we're going to have to take before a judge.
Well, is there anybody here that's aware of the property with that? Because if any part of that storage container is in the property, isn't it supposed to be removed?
Right, then it wouldn't be in compliance.
Then it wouldn't be in compliance.
Correct.
But I was wondering,
because I believe
some of the elders that are here, if they're aware of that storage container,
it's
close to that building.
And I've talked to Brian, and he claims that where that container is, there's another foot to 2 feet beyond the container. That's his property.
Yeah. I'm just trying to get out my wallet and get it done, but
You know, so some of the other issues that have come up is, as is, he currently has a fishing house license on it, claiming it's a fish house.
Yeah. He hasn't left since I've been here, so I know it's very mobile.
The other thing is he's put up signs that says no parking, which he does not have the authority to do. So that will be another issue we will have to address.
I think we addressed the removal of the thing per the variance, and by doing that, push that forward, I think, by declaring it a nuisance is what gets that moved forward.
Yep. That way we'll at least we'll, you know, we can send it to the county attorney to get their opinion on it.
I look for a motion to declare that storage container out of compliance and as a nuisance, so you can turn it around.
Second.
So moved and seconded to go ahead and declare it a public nuisance of the container behind Timberline. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes.
Okay. I will move forward on it.
And I would just say, just if you can't get conversation with Travis in regards to working out some type of survey conversation, work with staff. There might be a way we might be able to help facilitate that as well.
And I've searched for Chief, and I talked to Ryan Kraski, somebody at the Carver County when I first moved in, and he kind of, you know, told me like where my property line starts. We went over the old plats and stuff, tried to walk me through it. I went through my deed a little bit this evening to try to find out, where the point of root at the point starts, the alley in between there, and by going to the Carver County website, I think they've got my house, or, you know, the, what they've got on there doesn't, you know, it actually overlaps my house a little bit, so I don't know where that property line really, you know.
It'll say any of your current things?
Well, I thought I got the two north.
Measure off of a corner thing?
Yeah.
Your abstract, you'd be pretty darn close.
Yeah, we, Greg and I tried to go over there with the metal detector to locate pins, but we didn't have any luck.
And then you get
the interference because you got a metal storage container there, so it's near to impossible to find them too. No, we went all around the house.
And then I tried to measure how people in my lot is. It's, what is the exact dimensions? I think it's 59 by 47 or something. It's a very small lot. And yeah, that's my big deal is that, you know, I like to have parking. I had to cut my fence open to get a gate, to get a vehicle off of Maria. Also defense in the back.
Yes, but I think that's probably the best bet is to try to get the survey done. I mean, as you can have seen and have, as we've dealt with this last year, just with some of the properties that the city's been trying to deal with in regards to on Railroad Street, there's a little bit of discrepancy in where.
Yeah, I was just trying to find, you know, if there's people. I've talked to a few people, and I've heard different sides of whether it's the property, whether or not Helen had a driveway, you know, on the side of the maple tree there. So I was just.
Well, I know that for a fact because I grew up in this town, and her husband always did park up in there. That was his parking spot to get up and off of the.
Yeah.
So there, it's got to be a driveway of some kind.
Yeah, but if you're looking at the house to the right,
yep.
That's what I've heard also, but,
But just exactly where the pin would be, where the property line from one place to the other is.
Yeah, because there's, well, with the alley there, I have approximately, I think it's 4 or 5 feet, you know, from where the edge of my house is. It's small, I think from the gravel of the alley to the storage container, I want to say it's 49 feet or something like that. So depending on where the property starts at that point, I'll probably read through the deed a little bit more than I get to something.
Like I say, if you have any issues working with Trevor, just
come talk to him. If you've done anything civil.
Appreciate
that. I think that sign you put on there was for me, that, you know, I was parking on what I believe was, you know, where my property line was. Where, you know, there's a fence back there that goes right down the middle of that storage container. I believe that fence is probably over the line.
Right.
Thanks for being as patient as you have, because some of us can't be patient anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So.
As much as you, we would like to have it resolved also.
Yeah. He told me once it was froze down and couldn't be moved this end of the year. I said, I'll have that out on the street in 5 minutes.
I've got access to the Supreme Court and brother here.
Good luck.
Thank you. We'll move on then to new city business. Rich, did you have anything? I know we passed the 52 Club. Do you have anything else you wanted to add? Or
just maybe give you a little update on what's coming up in the future here with the baseball club. 2019 seems to be kind of a normal year. Not a whole lot out of the ordinary. But I was told that Plato for 2020 wants to come to us to have us help them with the region tournament 2020, so we're going to start meeting with those and finalizing that. 2021, we will be the third site for Waconia and Chaska State Tournament. So that will involve not near what a normal state tournament that we've had in the past does, but it will be some postseason activity going on there. And then 2022, we are slated to host the region tournament. It will be our turn. So those 3 years in a row, we're going to be a little bit busy postseason down there. So we're looking to do some upgrades, some normal maintenance that we need to do. I think our lights probably need to be looked at just for maybe relighting those with new bulbs and things like that in the next coming couple of years. Scoreboard, we're maybe looking to upgrade that and maybe make that a digital scoreboard. I think we can use our current shelf that we have up and just replace the components inside of it to make that happen. So we're going to look at those things. Nothing's set in stone, but when you have incandescent scoreboard that's been up there for 20 years, it's to the point where you can't even buy bulbs for it anymore. So, yeah. I mean, that's just the way it is. So, we're looking at doing that. And then that's really all I have for baseball right now. And then I thought I'd just give you a quick update on school, since I'm on the school board and really don't have anyone from town here talking a little too much about that. So, as most of you have probably saw in the Norwood Times, Superintendent Corlett turned in his retirement / resignation at the end of June. So last Thursday we began the process of starting the search for a new one, and so we're very early in the process, but I'm going to be one that's going to ask that we have a couple of leaders from this town be part of the interview process. So a couple of you may be asked if you'd like to participate in that. So it's everybody's district, and so we need to all be involved in it. That's kind of where that is. And if anyone has any questions on that, they can certainly call me or talk to me. But that's moving forward, and we hope to have that thing out there in the next probably 40 days or so and have applications coming in so that we can start that process.
Council, any questions? Matt? So that new scoreboard, that can include the Jumbotron in there too then, or?
I was hoping we could put that on the water tower, but I...
Well,
then we got to go up another 10.
One of the things we did pass in the consent agenda was the 52 Club, which are tickets that the baseball club uses to raise a lot of funds. I don't know how many in the crowd have either bought one or are aware of it. But the other part too, even though that's a city park, the baseball club takes care of it almost solely by themselves, and also all the money they raise goes back into that park. So the money that was raised from the last state tournament and previous state tournaments have gone for all the upgrades. We as city taxpayers have not really had to put hardly a dime into that field to keep it maintained. And I don't know how many of you have gone down to the Twins game, but there's a bar called the Town Hall Bar that's up in left field, right? Or is it right?
Yeah, left
Town
field.
Town Hall Tavern is in left field. Left in the second
in the level. Corner. Yeah. Kind of.
And they got three pictures of our ballpark hanging in there. So, I mean, we do, people come for our field in that. And I was joking earlier because a recent retiree, unfortunately, he lives outside of the ring, I think, of what we could acquire him, but we were hoping maybe we could get the services of a recent Twin retiree to play first base. But all right, then we'll move on then, if nothing else, Rich. Or anybody else, anything else for Rich?
Go to the comp plan.
Yeah, we'll go to the 2040 comp plan.
Update on where we are with the city's comprehensive plan. As you may remember, I was here about 6 months ago. The city council considered and passed the comp plan contingent on a 6-month review process. So that's kind of wrapped up, that's finished. December 1st was the last day of the 6 months. Of course, human nature, we got most of the comments during that period in the last week, so they just showed up. But we have them now. I have copies in here. I don't know if people are interested in the details. But I thought I would just go through quickly what came in and then sort of the time frame of moving forward with any questions. I think as we talked about, we sort of anticipated most of these would be what we're calling housekeeping amendments. So they're not really changing the direction of the plan, changing the direction of the city. They're just kind of cleaning it up and making this into a format that the council also will support and approve. So instead of the next step is to make them for their formal approval. Just to talk through a little bit of a few comments we got by section. On land use, we just got language about clarifying the calculations and staging. There was some discussion about the industrial annexation area, and I thought you could clarify with your staff to make sure that's worded just right, the western portion of this piece that's going to be annexed into the city. The DNR, just waiting with some very advisory comments. They said it was fine, but talk about the trees and wildlife and things like that, just sort of general good practices on that. Housing was just that housing chapter for the city. The Met Council was providing the same comments to every city. They wanted every chapter to cover every possible housing pool. Seems like a lot to me since most of these cities aren't going to use them all, but we can cover them. We just say nothing will be applicable. That's okay. A lot of this is about checking boxes at this point, making sure that we have the minimum number of things that would be issues. The county has reviewed this plan. Their main comments were the transportation section, and largely was just making sure that they've had some new material in their countywide plan, and making sure that the city plan matches that. It doesn't change anything in terms of the plans for the codes. It's just making sure data and the numbers line up. There are some placeholders. They're still working on their model. Once that's completed, probably in January, they're going to have to update them. From the perspective of something like this, it doesn't change anything. It really impacts the community where the staff's getting to ask into the world. Their forecast for congestion will change based on that. Here, the congestion will still not be forecasted. There are some changes to the wastewater section and surface water section that SEH will be taking care of, and we shared that with SEH. They largely are just compliance pieces, making sure that all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed, everything shows in the right place. And that's really about it. They're as I said, they're just cleaning up, clarifying, doesn't really change the direction. Where we are with the process right now is the December 31st is the deadline to have this plan completed and submitted to that council. as a quick button that goes online. So that what we're going to, our plan now is just to go through these comments, make a few changes, we'll get a comment version back to you. It's right at the holidays, so there's not a lot of time to turn around, but since it won't change it much, we're hoping to get that cleaned up and submitted in good shape for the new year. Met Council then will have a plan. They will be up to, have an opportunity to use your formal review. They may have additional comments. I can't anticipate any more because they've already reviewed this informally. But once that's completed, then the plan will be final. So that we've almost near the finish line here, just here to give you an update to let you know. I don't know if there's any other questions. Since this plan has been going on for a year and a half, if there's any, we want to make sure that if there's any changes, any direction, I don't anticipate anything, but you think that we should make sure to capture this before this is all wrapped up. This is the time to sweep any other little changes in, so be mindful of that.
You know, did they touch base, did SEH touch base on the water tower in their portion of the...
I'm going to follow up with them about that.
Okay.
They had the latest and greatest, because I know they've made some decisions in the past 6 months, some things have decided at that point, so...
The only thing I can really think of that would be major changes that we would have.
Yeah, we'll make sure that it has the latest and greatest on that. They have submitted the water supply plan, but the most comments along those lines were making sure that it was very clear what the city intended to do in terms of plan. So it'll probably be good. We don't need every little detail in terms of your budget, but just something that explains what the city plans to do for the next few years. That would be helpful, for instance, if you're going for future funding, that you have it clearly articulate your plan, what your plan is, so that it shows that there was thoughtfulness behind that. Anything else at this point?
Council, anything?
No.
No?
There's a lot of new pieces. It's getting close, and I appreciate the city's sort of tracking with us through all this. You already have, like I mentioned, there, as far as city actions, you already have approved with a contingent resolution, meaning you could take action today just sort of approve it, or you could just say that stands. We're assuming it's all wrapped up. It's kind of your call on that, but.
Is there any preference you'd want us to do? Any preference staff would want us to have?
I think we pretty much got her wrapped up, don't you?
I didn't know for your own purposes if you wrecked it, but
well, staff isn't pushing it. You're not pushing it. I think we'll be fine where we're at.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. All right. Unless I have other questions, with this done, we'll make sure you get updated copies of everything and keep going forward.
All right, thank you.
Okay, move on to new water tower location.
All right, so I have up here,
met with our engineers today. And some of the discussion we had, what we've talked about is one was location of the tower. So the tower will be right here. One thing we talked about was for trucks to be able to come in and fill. With the fill station. So this is what they come up that would best fit without losing any parking space and fitting it into where city boundaries are right here. So what we looked at doing is what they had initially brought this was blacktopping the whole area, and I'm like, that's just too much, blacktop for me. I don't know what council's thoughts are. So our thing was to change it, just have a drive. Basically around the tower, they come in and fill out, and boom, they can fill out. The same thing with Miller's, and they can come in, fill up, and out. That way we don't have a mess over here, hoses, and then coming in here. We also have this meter. We could set it up where it would be metered by you punching a code, boom, 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 tracks what your usage is. So they kind of use a scale model of a bus, kind of trying to take in, probably your larger tankers and pumpers. So that's what they have proposed. This would be obviously green space. And then for the looping, what they're looking is there's an existing line here. It's hard to see it because it's gray. So come off that existing line, and then come out here, and then all the way down here to Broadway, right out here to the hydrant, and that'll be the looping for that area. So basically, kind of the things they want to know is, you know, because we're kind of on a tight schedule, so we can get this done and completed by fall 2019. So they want to know by the end of the week just the location of the tower. If there's any objections, the location of the tower right here. The one downfall with putting this piping in here, all these trees out here, have to be removed. In order to put that pipe in. Yep. So that's the one downfall. But still, removing trees is cheaper than...
They live there right so already, so...
Yeah. You know, the thought was is to put that in, and then at some point we'd look at creating... Because I believe they just put in for windbreak, is my assumption. Or, yeah. But, you know, the problem is they put them in for windbreak if they're cut up to here. Yeah. Yeah, so there isn't much of a wind break.
Well, the robin up here on the roof appreciates
right. It. So, you know, the concept would be is that we would then, you know, in the future, too, look at the slowest type of replace the trees in here for something appropriate. So one other thing we discussed today that I want to pull up and show council. Basically, what we're doing is there's no piping here, you know, to loop this area. So what we have proposed was creating looping from here to here to kind of loop this whole area in here. One of the things they talked about was right here, proposed Jacob Street construction. Our thought process was, as already in need of repair, I think that would be the time to do it.
Absolutely.
Put it into the project, boom, it's done.
Absolutely.
It's taken care of because it is on kind of, you know, it's on our future documentation for repair. So I think this would be the time to do it. And
we would go all the way down?
No, we would just go from Sheely, right here. You can see Sheely.
Yep.
It's right here where the main is. Connect it there.
No, I mean the street.
Oh, yeah, the whole street, yeah. All that area there. But we wouldn't go, we just go to Sheely, you know, okay. Where they're doing the looping, not all of Jacob Street, right? Yeah, so, but they're, as you can see, they're just proposing to there. So kind of that area, so right there is where they would do the digging and do that. But
could we lump the whole street?
I don't know, with a PFA loan, I don't know.
Like, let's just say, theoretically, things come under budget and we have room for that.
We might be able to do it outside the PFA.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
But I don't know if we'd be able to do it PFA directly.
It wouldn't be in the scope of the PFA because we're not doing anything down that way for
right.
Water. It's a good thought, but just
unfortunately. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they would fly. Yeah.
Hey, if you don't ask,
you don't ask. So, unless there's any objections, that's what we're proposing right now to do that looping. Them two looping, and then also to replace the shaded orange section. Well, it's more yellow up there, but that section also.
Council, any questions? Thoughts?
I mean, even here you can kind of see how, you know, you can see the alligator marks in the row. You know, it needs it. So that's that, and then, like I said, if there's any objections to the, you know, the placement of the tower?
I think it looks good.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty cool design to turn around like that.
Yeah, I mean, that way we figure, so the only thing would be...
And we're far enough off of
our setbacks.
The farmland over here and
yep.
Stuff, so...
Yep, so we should be good.
Okay.
So the only, you know, it's kind of a formality, which we don't, I don't think that decision needs to be made now, but something to think about. If you want the trucks to come in, staying to the right, or if we want to switch to the English version, go the other way.
So that was one of the tough decisions we talked about that we're gonna have to make in the future on that.
Special meeting.
But
yeah, I think we need a special meeting consultant.
But we'll need to know, because the concept is that'll dictate the fill site.
Fill site.
You know, which side, because we feel you'd rather come in with an empty truck, you know, around this corner, fill, and then you're out of here.
And you want your fill site on the driver's side, because it's a lot easier for him to judge.
Yeah.
He's pulling up to
him. Yeah.
You don't want it on your blind side, so.
Yeah. So.
Is there any advantage to have it to the east or west of the tower?
I don't think so. We kind of were out there today, looked at it. If you come tomorrow in the daylight, you can see the mark in the snow where the tower will be. So you can get a visual there outside.
Is if there's a Dewey's or something up town or here and the place is parked full of cars.
Yeah, and that was the thing why they went with this design, because they took that into consideration. We're here. So say someone was parked here, they could still get in and out of here.
Steve?
Is this a overhead fill station or
I think overhead. You know, we're, I guess that's where we're open to, you know, unfortunately I just got this today, so it's kind of, you know, on the hot seat, but my plan was to forward it to the fire department for their, you know, to jot down some suggestions. When we replant them, yes. But unfortunately for now, they're all going to be coming out.
Reason to make those
trees. Yeah.
Those trees have survived a long time.
Well, that the location we can determine at a later spot, right? We don't determine location today.
Not on that, just the tower just right the tower. Now, because you know they need to do the soil borings and get that taken care of here next week.
That's a nice setup. Mm-hmm.
Jason, Tim?
Yeah.
No, I agree. It's a good plan.
Cool. I think you got your direction. I don't think there's any objection.
Right. Sounds good.
Anything else for new city business? Okay, we'll move on then to city council reports. Councilman Buckington. Councilman Tracy.
No, sir.
Councilman Buckman.
No, sir.
Nothing? No. Councilman Church. I just have one thing. I will get this to Jeremy so he can get copies to everybody on it, but at the last regional council mayor's meeting we had yesterday, we talked a little bit about what kind of the priorities are going to be for the group going forward in 19. In the packet, you should have my notes from the meeting as well. We had a panel talking about resiliency. That's the new buzzword now. Instead of saying climate change, it's resiliency, I guess. And the interesting part I took away from that was that the Standard & Poor's and the other rating agencies are looking at cities and municipalities and adjusting their ratings on their bond ratings based on their ability to handle major environmental issues. I guess since, 2013, we've seen an increase of 15 to 20% rainfall in the state of Minnesota, and they expect that to continue. So one of the concerns is our clean water ability to get that water away adequate. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out of this conversation, especially with the 2040 comp plan, you know, coming to a point where it's going to be more solidified, and maybe what the Met Council decides on as well. Who knows? It might hasten our exit to Sibley or McLeod County. I just had to say that Senator Jensen or Representative Nash is going to be listening later.
And Tim.
Well, if nobody has anything else for the good of the city this evening, I look for adjournment.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
Don't jump at
me. I was waiting for
it's been moved and seconded to adjourn the Hamburg City Council meeting December 11, 2018 at 8:25. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? we are adjourned again before the council.